Good evening. I'd like to thank God for giving me this wonderful opportunity and also travel to this great country and meet brothers and sisters on the other side of the world and have a time of fellowship, experience the love and the warmth. And it's been a blessing over the last 5 weeks, and I'm really delighted to be here, and I thank God for giving me such a wonderful opportunity. And it is indeed a delight to be here, experience the culture, the love, the food. This is my last week here, and I fly back to my country on Thursday. So this is merely my last sermon for this year, so hopefully. And it's been great, and I would really want to thank the elders at East Foothill Church of Christ from the bottom of my heart for giving me the opportunity to share the word here with you this evening. As you know, I'm from India, and wherever I go, I just give a gist of what exactly happens during worship in India. Our worship service lasts for 3 hours, and our Sunday sermon lasts for 1.5 hours. So now you pretty well know what you got yourselves into. After I came here, I was always told by my sister and her husband to keep an eye on the watch, because I didn't realize how long the lessons are preached here. So my brother-in-law, he gave me a heads up. He said, "Well, we know that you are used to preaching for long hours. But just keep in mind, you can do that here too. But remember that we all leave after 30 minutes." So I had to keep that in mind and make sure that I condense my lessons close to the time. And I have to confess that I've been pretty unsuccessful in doing it. Because every time I'm preaching for over 40 minutes, so I'll try to cut down as much as I can and be on time. Speaking of long sermons, I get reminded of this young preacher who gets a call from one of the elderly sisters in the congregation one night. And he picks up the phone and she asks him, she greets the preacher and she says, "I'd like to have a few CDs of your preaching." Well, you would know the preacher would be delighted. I'm sure Aaron here would be delighted if he gets a call, something like that. Someone calling him in the middle of the night asking for some CDs of his lesson. So he just jumped out of his bed. And he just jumped out of his bed and just went there and delivered the CDs to her. And he couldn't stop himself from asking why she asked him for the CDs. And she so lovingly told him, "My son, every time you preach, I sleep. You put me to bed. And I'm having problems sleeping tonight. So I'd rather have a couple of your CDs so that I could go to bed." Well, during my last 5 weeks here, I preached. I was privileged to be given the opportunity to speak in many congregations. I'm doing a theme of lessons based on discipleship. That's what I've been doing over the last couple of weeks. When I preached at Santa Clara, I preached about abounding in the work of the Lord. and in Sunnyvale about the Great Commission, and in Melorav I talked about guarding faith. And this morning, when I was preaching at Almaden Valley, I preached about the attitude of a disciple. And finally, my last lesson in the theme of discipleship is growth. The scriptures teach us that our goal should be to be spiritually mature and to become like what God has in mind for each one of us to be. God expects his children to develop spiritually. The blessings involved in Christ include not only redemption, but also renewal. If we look at Titus chapter 3, verse 5, Paul writes to Titus saying, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. I think so. Yeah. Thank you. In baptism, we undergo a washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. In Romans 6, 5, for if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. From baptism, we raise to walk in a newness of life. The renewal we find in Christ involves the concept of spiritual growth. Just as a healthy physical life is one of growth, so is a healthy spiritual life is a process of growth. Sadly, not all Christians are growing spiritually. Many Christians have been improving with a little change. Some have been failing to grow. And they become stagnant like a pool of water. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, the Hebrew writer says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, it is important for God's people to grow. A perfect example would be the early church, the early Christians. In Acts 2:42, we see they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Now let's see, they were continually devoting, which means right after they obeyed the gospel, they began to grow. Growth is a process. We may describe that growth by a series of stages or steps. This evening, I would like us all to look how to grow spiritually. Each of us started life as a cell, so small that it has to be seen in a microscope. But we don't stay that size. We grow. We grow and rapidly into a small infant, then into a toddler, then into children, adults. That's the process of growth. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 1 to 3, I'd like to read just 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now Peter gives us an idea of how to grow. In verse 3, he talks about growing unto salvation. New Christians he refers as newborn babes in 1 Peter chapter 1, 22 to 23. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart, so you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living and enduring of word of God. Growth is very much part of life. Something is seriously wrong if one does not grow. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, Peter writes, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. The alternate of spiritual growth is spiritual immaturity. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 to 14, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Growing unto salvation, as defined by words, is to be nourished. Barclay, a very famous commentator, he writes, as grow up until you reach salvation. And salvation is used to describe eternal salvation. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 and 9. Who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In verse 9, he writes, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Growing unto salvation implies eternal salvation is conditioned on man's obedience to God's truth. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2. We already saw that. That you may grow in respect to salvation. As Christians, we always need to remember the importance of growing spiritually. If we don't realize or understand the need to grow, there is a danger of neglecting our salvation. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 14, Paul writes, so then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Many times we tend to overlook the value of the great gift of salvation that God has given us so freely. The Hebrew writer warns us. He says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, he writes, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. It is important for Christians to grow in their salvation. Because the cost of that salvation is the life of God's only Son. We need to realize that, how important it is for Christians to continue to grow. Secondly, we need to grow in grace. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Grace means that which bestows or occasions pleasure, delight or causes favorable regard. Peter uses grace objectively to describe that state where one stands in favor of the Lord. One who is in the spiritual state of God's favor can and shall grow and develop in God's grace. Now the question is, how can one grow in the Lord's favor? One must first stand fast in God's true grace. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 12. Peter writes, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. There is a danger that we could develop a heart of unbelief, which could move us away from our steadfastness, which in turn can separate us from the grace of God. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, Paul writes that one may fall from the grace of God. You have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, writes, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God. There is a danger that one may fall short of the grace of God. Christians need to continue to remain steadfast in the grace of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, 14, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. Paul emphasizes that one who stands in God's true grace is obedient to God's truth. Secondly, one who stands in grace is in a position to grow. When we read Genesis chapter 5, we read of a man who was the most short-lived compared to everyone of his time. And his name was Enoch. Everyone else lived longer than him. During his time, everyone lived till 900 years. 920, 930, 940. But there is this man who just lived 350 years. If you notice, many chapters in the Bible contain simply names. Names that we are tired of reading them. If you put the entire genealogy in a nutshell, we can say so-and-so was born, lived, and died. But when we see the life of Enoch, his entire life was summarized in just one verse. Genesis 5:22. Enoch walked with God, bearing sons, bearing children. Enoch walked with God and God took him away. That's a beautiful statement. He was pleasing to God. And how did he accomplish that? How did he do it? Through faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who seek him. Enoch had God's favor, so much that God took him along with him. Secondly, one who develops the Christian graces grows in God's favor. The Christian graces are found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. Now, Peter really presses on these qualities and the need that every Christian needs to inculcate or develop these qualities. These eight graces help them to grow in the grace of God. In order to grow as one should, these qualities or these graces are to be added to one's faith. They must be incorporated into the life of a Christian. To properly add them to your life, you must know what they are and why you need them. Things are to be added to one's faith, where faith is being the foundation on which to build. And first one we see, moral excellence. The first of the eight graces after faith, which is the foundation, we find moral excellence, which is the determination to do right. Knowledge of the Word of God, for it tells you what is right. Self-control, application of the knowledge to your life. Perseverance, remaining steadfast to the Lord and His cause. Godliness, being like God as He would have you to be. Brotherliness, brotherly kindness, tender affection towards brethren in Christ. The Greek word of brotherly love is Philadelphia. The word is divided into two parts. Adelphos means born of the same womb. And phileo means love. Both joined together, Christians should have the brotherly love, which means to love our brothers just as we love our own brother from the same mother. Brotherly kindness, tender affection towards brethren in Christ, and love, devotion to God, Christ, and your fellow men. This is expressed in obedience to God, which causes you to be service to all. And if you are maturing as you should, these things are abounding in your life. These do not come easily. They don't come easily. It takes diligence on our part. One who follows the footsteps of Christ pleases Him. How can we grow in the Lord's favor? One who follows the footsteps of Christ will please Him. 1 Peter chapter 2, 21. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you. Jesus set an example for us, and we should follow His steps. We should ask ourselves, do I want to grow up spiritually strong like Jesus? We would be in God's favor if we strive to follow Jesus. How can one grow in Lord's favor? Those who are righteous please the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous, and His ears attend to their prayers. As long as Christians walk in accordance to their calling, walk worthy of their calling, they will please the Lord and will grow in His grace. Grow in knowledge. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Grow in knowledge. It is very important to grow in knowledge in becoming righteous. To be righteous demands a knowledge of the way of righteousness. The Christian needs to constantly pursue the way of righteousness, and that can be only attained if he or she thirsts for the knowledge of the Lord.
We need to have the attitude of David, who thirsts for the knowledge of God, for the word of God. To be righteous, one must work righteousness. In Acts 10:35, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. Ignorance leads to lust, and lust produces sin. We need to realize how important it is to grow in the knowledge. Lack of knowledge leads us into sin. James chapter 1, verse 13 to 15. James writes, let no one say he is tempted. I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Christians cannot afford to be ignorant of the deceitful schemes of the devil. The devil desires our destruction and often tries to lure us back into a sinful life. We got to be careful. It's important for Christians to grow in the knowledge of God. The unlearned wrest the scriptures to their own destruction if they do not grow in knowledge. Lack of knowledge and understanding of scriptures can lead one to destruction. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. And also, as also in all his letters, speaking in them for these things in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort as they do, also the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. Peter writes about the letters of Paul. Some of them are hard to understand. But one needs to try and understand those, because if you remain ignorant, they would lead you to destruction. One who grows in knowledge gains strength to withstand temptation and sin. Psalms 119, verse 11. The psalmist writes, your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. As long as we treasure the word in our hearts, the word helps us not to look into temptation. One who grows in knowledge is sensitive to the promise of the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 3, 8 to 10. But do not let the one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. The knowledge of the Lord helps Christians to be patient while enduring various trials and tribulations, knowing that they will pass. And the Lord will keep his promise. In conclusion, the requirements for growth. Nourishment. Just as a little child needs nourished food to grow, Christians need nourishment like newborn babes long for pure milk of the word. We need to long for the word. Then exercise. A kid can grow if he continues to sit right from the morning till he goes to bed. Needs to stretch his legs. Work out a little, play around. Needs exercise to grow. And so does a Christian. And how is this exercise possible? Paul writes to young Timothy in 1st letter, chapter 4, verse 8, "For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." The other thing that's needed for growth is freedom from diseases. And Peter writes in his first letter, chapter 2, verse 1, what those diseases are. He writes, "Therefore, putting aside all malice, all deceit, and hypocrisy, and envy, and all slander." Note, he said, lay aside 5 things which stop us from growing, which hinder our growth. As Peter has set forth 2 areas in which the Christian is to grow. 1, grace. 2, knowledge. As Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, the ultimate goal of spiritual growth is eternal salvation in heaven. The danger of lack of growth is revealed in the liability of instability. The choice is clear. One grows spiritually or faces the danger of a spiritual decay or death. Before I close, I would like to outline a few indications of spiritual growth. What are the indications of spiritual growth? How do I know whether or not I'm spiritually growing? That's what we all need to find out. Regular attendance. Hebrews chapter 10, 24, 25. To stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together. Cheerful giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. God loves a cheerful giver. Growing confidence in salvation. Look at the words of Paul. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 6 to 8. Said, "I have fought a good fight, and I kept my faith." Growing knowledge of God's word. Growing desire to go to heaven. Philippians chapter 1, 21, 23, 24. Growing knowledge of God's word. Increasing our knowledge, our understanding of the word of God. Constant prayer life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 17. For a Christian, the greatest battles of life are won on their knees. The greatest battles of life. So a constant prayer life is very much essential. It is an indication of our spiritual growth. Growing respect for the eldership. A beautiful pattern that Jesus has given for the New Testament church is to have elders to oversee the flock. So Christians need to respect the eldership. Increasing love for souls. Romans chapter 1, 14 to 16. We need to have a desire to win souls for Christ. Growing spiritually is bearing fruit. And the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. So, for us to know if we are growing, if we are bearing fruit, the clear indication is